Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery. I'm the rector of the parish, and we're glad that you're here to join us in worship today. As always, we have a significant number of people playing a significant number of roles, and we are so thankful for their contributions to this service. Our music director is Steve Hollowitz. The prelude today will be done by Alexander von Wartburg. Paul Grambo is our ongoing vocalist, and he will be singing two or three times today. In the postlude, we will feature the flute with Mallory Smith as well. John Gardy, as always, is our sound technician, and joining me this morning in the Liturgy of the Word is the Reverend Jerry Adam. God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God, the Word of the Lord.
Bound for Emmaus, disheartened and lost, all their hope for the future had been nailed to a cross. Love unknown then walked beside them, come back from the dead, and they knew he was risen in the breaking of bread. On the Sea of Tiberias, when the night was nearly gone, and their toil seemed so useless, not one fish had they caught. From the shore the stranger called to them, cast your net, friends, once more. And they filled it to bursting, but the net was not torn. Then they knew it was Jesus, and they hastened into shore. Bread and fish for their breakfast from the hands of their Lord. Oh, Peter, if you love me, you must care for my sheep. If you follow your shepherd, then a shepherd you'll be. When the road makes us weary, when our labor seems but loss, when the fire of faith weakens and too high seems the cost, let the church turn to its risen Lord, who for us bore the cross, and we'll find our hearts burning at the sound of his voice.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with one another about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know that these things have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of Christ.
Praising my Savior.
perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The two readings today, one from 1 Peter, the other from the Gospel according to Luke, talk about situations where people were trying to walk in a new normal, and they weren't doing very well at it. I think the Road to Emmaus story is quite well known, so I'll spend just a few seconds on it and then try and unpack the reading from 1 Peter a little bit more, and then at the end try and compare it and help you see how it might apply to our situation today where the new normal changes every day. It's important to note in the Road to Emmaus story that it happens the same day as Jesus' resurrection. We can sometimes think that, oh, this was a long time afterwards, and these two guys had had a long time to think about, and we know exactly what's going on. But this is fresh for them. They are walking the 7 miles to Emmaus, not happily, not joyously, perhaps even running away from great pain. Jesus was to be the leader. Jesus was to be the Christ, was to make a difference, was to change the world, was to be the normal forever. And he was dead, although they had heard rumblings that he was alive. So they walked in a time of great difficulty, a time where they didn't know if they could trust what they thought they trusted. They were confused. They were anxious, nervous, afraid, all those things. And it's amazing to think that they walked a considerable period of time with Jesus by their side and didn't recognize him. Now, was his face altered? Did he appear differently? Were they just simply so distraught they never really looked at him? And even as he unpacked everything for them, they still weren't sure. Peter's writings to the community in 1 Peter and by extension in 2 Peter were to a group of people who were beginning to understand what it was to be part of the way, the church. But it wasn't an easy road. Well, they believed in Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension, and knew all of those things, and were convinced that he was who he said he was, the Messiah, the Christ, didn't make their lives easy. And Peter's first letter is to try and calm them down. Try to point out to them that nobody promised just because you joined this new thing, the way, that had the potential to be so wonderful that everything was going to be roses all the time. There was persecution. People laughed at them. People derided them. People felt sorry for them that they were in this thing that was so out there. But Peter was reminding them that they had been shown something new. They had been shown the way forward. And the key, I think, to this whole letter that Peter wrote was to show them that not just they had been given this gift, but that even those who persecuted them, who gave them a hard time, that the gift was open to them. This was a new normal. This was to be the way it was to be. And it was for all. So Peter talks with them and encourages them at length to stick with it, to realize that God's gift was imperishable, that it would never end, that no matter how difficult it became, no matter how many obstacles were put in their path, no matter how long they had to wait, God's love was unconditional and was permanent. That they simply needed to remember that they had been shown the way forward, and they had to stick to it. That it wasn't the old way with sacrifices and rules and regulations and all those other things. It was a new way. A way of love. So we take these two stories and we journey into the era of COVID-19. We listen as we hear in many countries up to and more than half of the deaths are people in long-term care homes. We understand that some of the biggest and most serious outbreaks in some countries are occurring in prisons. Daily we read stories that those who are having the hardest time coping with COVID-19 are those that have little or nothing. This week, a story broke that 50 senators in the Senate of Canada, 50 of them, have written a letter to the Prime Minister imploring the government to proceed with a universal basic income when we come out the other side of this pandemic. That really is what we heard of in these two stories. An inclusion of everyone in everything. By giving everyone access to enough resources to have shelter and food and dignity, everyone is included in God's love for us. Everyone has that dignity. Everyone has what we are called to do and be. Just one example of something that may change in our new normal. As Peter said, you'll be tested and tried, as gold is tried by fire to take away the contaminants. But as we go through a life of faith, as we follow the way of Jesus Christ, we will come to love more and more and more, and we will come to a conclusion that love is not the answer, it's the only way. It's God's way. It's the way that we have been called to walk, to journey. Philosophically, that's the easiest thing in the world to say. It's more difficult for us to do. It asks us to risk. It asks us to give up things. All we need to do is look at the frontline workers. And they're not all people who are in high-paying or well-paying jobs. Yes, there are doctors that are on the front lines and technicians and nurses that make a good wage. But there are also sanitation workers and hospital cleaners and store clerks, some of whom make just above the minimum wage. Some of them work part-time only or might have to have two or three jobs. We have heard over and over again the plight of PSWs in nursing homes. It's easy to look at what Peter was saying to the community around him when he says, just work your way through it. It seems easy as we look back 2,000 years. This pandemic is giving us an opportunity to look at our own reality, our own world, the way we do things. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look at the way I do things, I don't like what I see. I can sometimes see a rather self-centered person. But then I remind myself that God still loves me, that God still calls me to be part of the solution. So as you go through life this week, concerned about loved ones, perhaps in a nursing home, worried about paychecks, wanting to get away from the boredom of staying at home, and all those other things, spend some time thinking about what God wants us to see in all of this. Look at the examples that God has given us. Living in Rome in the first century, some 35 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, was not an easy place to live. Living in a pandemic is not an easy place to live. But in both, we are called by God to remember that we are loved by God. And a result of that love, we are to love all of those around us. We can and should create a more equitable, a more fair, a more just, and a more loving world as we go forward. Are we up to it? Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we make our prayer to you saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we come in prayer before our God of compassion, let us keep a moment of silence as we lift before God the people of Nova Scotia and those who lost their lives last week in Portapique. Holy God, whose Son Jesus Christ faced the violence of the cross and rose again on the third day, we pray for all those who have suffered violence in these days, and we hold especially before you the people of Nova Scotia. In this time of shock, be their refuge. In this time of grief, be their comfort. In this time of pain, be their healer. And receive into your hands all those who have died, that they may rest in your eternal love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, even as we cope with many challenges, still we give thanks for the blessings that have revealed themselves in the midst of this pandemic. We pray in gratitude for the kindness of strangers, the generosity of neighbors, the loving attention of family and friends, and our parish family here at St. James. We give you thanks for the renewal of spiritual practices, for responsible civic leadership and compassionate community. And we pray for your grace to increase in our willingness to sacrifice for others and to build our resilience in the face of constant change. May we take comfort in the knowledge that though we are apart, we still journey together and draw strength from our belonging as members of the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, whose Son stretched out his hand to bring wholeness, we pray to those who are sick at this time, for those whose treatment is delayed, for those who do not have access to their usual supports, and for those who are being treated for COVID-19. Let us name those known to us silently or aloud. We ask you to strengthen them in their bodies, minds, and spirit. God, our provider, we pray with thanks for the blessings and security in which we live, and pray today for those who are struggling at this time to make ends meet, for those who have lost their jobs, and those whose work is not paid fairly. We pray for an outpouring of generosity for those in need, and the enacting of just and fair pay for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of new life, in the blossoming of this season, teach us to wonder at the beauty of your creation, to be thankful for the abundance of the earth, and to treasure it in our hearts with the actions of our hands and the patterns of our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of wisdom, we pray for children unable to return to school or meet with friends, and for their teachers who continue to offer learning and support. We hold before you especially those children for whom home is not a happy or safe place, and those children for whom the disruption of routine and other special supports is especially distressing. We pray for educators finding new ways to accompany them through this time. To them all grant peace of heart, wisdom and inspiration, strength and perseverance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, who knows the solitude of the desert places, we pray for those who struggle with their isolation, for those who live alone and feel acute loneliness, for those who do not know where to turn and who long for physical connection, and especially for those who feel they have been forgotten. May they know your heart of love and your reassuring embrace, and may our hearts mirror your care and your compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, who whispers in the still small voice of calm, in the fire of the burning bush, in the chaos of the whirlwind, in the difficult times in which we live, help us to encounter you in our isolation and in our reaching out to one another. May we hear what you would teach us, and carry that good news into the time to come. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be with you this day, and remain with you forevermore. Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. thoughts to thee. Lord, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? Oh, none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. My plea, daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh Lord, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Let it be.
Let us go now in peace. May our way be paved with alleluias and our footsteps borne on the breath of God. Thanks be to God.